Was Lion King. It was either Lion King or Aladdin. There's some story that like Mandy Patinkin, he went in there and he's like notoriously difficult, but difficult in a positive way,
right?
Like just hard on himself,
so much of himself that he's impossible to work with.
Yeah, apparently he like it was Lion King or it was some Disney 90s animated. He went in and was just like going nuts and not doing it, and then he quit. He was like, I can't do this. I'm so sorry. And they were like, all right, everybody. It was Mandy Patinkin.
Everyone universally adores him,
yeah.
And is also like, oh no, he's terrible to work with.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Mandy.
Have you ever seen him on, it was like, I think it's the Fox like morning news show.
Yeah.
Where the guy was like, I have to go. My wife is having a baby. Yeah. And he's like, amazing. Mazel tov.
Yeah, that's all he wants to talk about.
It's so cute. And then he sent him a gift.
Yeah, you bet he did. Come on. He's a class.
He's a class act.
He's a class act.
All the way.
Welcome to PCMC.
This is Mandy Patinkin Talk.
This is our new segment.
Talking Patinkin.
I'm Mike Mangiorno. I'm joined today by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel good. I'm not as tired as I usually am at this time of night.
Good for you.
I think I'm being spiritually buoyed by the fact that I don't have to go to Sesame Place tomorrow, which was the original plan. And I was like dreading recording late and then having to go to Sesame Place early in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's going to be raining tomorrow, so I changed the ticket and I'm
nice.
I'm so happy. I'm as happy as my kids are sad.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They got plenty more sad days ahead of them. John Mulaney's right when he said there's no greater joy than canceling plans.
Yeah.
No greater joy.
It's freeing. It's like a burden lifted from my soul.
Because I don't want to do anything. Like, I think I heard Larry David talk about this. Like, it doesn't matter if it's like, oh, you have an appointment to fuck a supermodel on this date. You're like, oh, so that means that day I got to do something.
Yeah, I have to go somewhere.
It's on something. The count. Like, to me, like, having nothing on the calendar is... just
what a luxury.
The joy. Because as someone who lives with depression, I never know if it's going to be a rainy day in my head or not. You know what I mean? Like, you never know how bad it's going to be. So yeah, life's rough. What are we talking about?
Future me is always, like, way more into plans than, like, real me is.
Well, I assume that by the time the plan comes, I'll have everything together.
Oh, right. I'm definitely going to want to go to that. That's going to be great. And then the morning of, I'm like, oh, God, I have to do this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. What's it, 2 months away? Oh, yeah. By then, I'll be, first of all, far thinner.
You're always going to be thinner, then.
I'll have a
whole new
wardrobe, of course. It comes with a new body, new wardrobe. And I'll just be just radiant and just so happy to do anything. Someone should do this study. The further away plans are, the earlier you can make them. Like if I say,
oh, yeah,
can
absolutely.
You do something at 10 tomorrow?
You'd I be booked like, no. Elton John like a full year ago. It's this July and I'm already like, oh man, it's coming up. It's coming up.
But when is it?
It's July 23rd.
But what I'm saying is, like if I said to you.
And I'm already dreading it.
Yeah, I know. If I said to you, tomorrow at 10 a.m., can you do something? You'd say no. But if I said, in 6 months, we're going to meet at 4 a.m., you'd be like, yeah, no problem.
Sure, of course.
The further away it is, the earlier it can be. Because you imagine by then, you'll no longer need sleep. I don't know.
Hate waking up early? No.
Yeah.
I'm now a parent to two young children who wake up very early, and you'd think I'd be a morning person by now, but I am not.
No.
Every day it's like I've been up cramming for a test all night. I'm like, why is the sun out?
My parents were like that. I remember enjoying like getting up at 6 and having the house to myself from like 6 to 8.
Oh yeah, when I was a kid.
Yeah, when I was a child.
My parents didn't wake up in the morning.
No, yeah.
They'd be like, go downstairs.
Yeah.
Turn on the TV. They taught, like, I was so little, they had to teach me the number
of
the channel.
Turn on the TV, right. Don't turn Disney on the stove.
It was 40 at the time.
Yeah.
Then it became 41. But it was 40 originally. And so it's like 40. You remember, that's what you have to put on.
Yeah.
Sometimes they leave it on for me the night before so I could just turn it right on. And then just be like, don't come up here at all for like several hours.
Yeah.
I get it.
Just entertain yourself. Well, this is Pop Culture Man, children. And you want to talk about some trailers?
Let's do it. We're right in the trailer corner. Put us in the corner.
All right.
We've been bad.
Unlike Baby.
You can put us in the corner.
You can put us in a corner. Excuse me.
Oh, my God.
I'm so sorry.
You are gas bag tonight.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. What do you want to start with?
Should we start with Obi-Wan? Obi-Wan.
I mean, that's the... yeah, I'd say so.
This Obi-Wan program, this is supposed to be 10 years before A New Hope. So what has the desert done to this man?
Right.
Because I thought they were going to age him up more. Like, he just looks like handsome, middle-aged Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
There needs to be a scene early on where, like, he goes to a Tatooine doctor. And he's like, I keep telling you, use sunscreen. The desert is going to get
you. It's going to get you.
It's going to thin your hair.
This sun ages people two times the rate of a normal. Because it's two suns double aging.
Two suns double
aging. That's how they're going to handle it. That's how they'll do it.
Like, oh, I'm glad they put that doctor scene in here.
They're like, you know, Earth's sun. You've never seen Earth. Nobody knows about Earth. It's fine. This is how it ages people, and this is how this sun ages people.
So what did you think of it?
I mean, I loved it. It looks great. We actually just rewatched it just moments ago.
I've seen it 1,000 times because I'm one of these super nerds who loves reaction videos.
Okay,
it's like a weird. And by the way, if you caught me watching a reaction video, I'd be embarrassed.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it's a weird empathy machine.
Okay.
Like, watching someone else react to something you've already reacted to, it just, you hook into the feeling of when you were excited that last time.
Oh, wow.
It's very, I mean, that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Okay. And there's so many reactors. I mean, if you are halfway interesting, have interesting background, which means like Funko Pops, and you're like not hard on the eyes.
Yeah.
You have a reactor YouTube that's monetized. And when it's a big thing like this, like I've watched like hundreds of these. So I've seen the trailer so many times, but each time through new eyes.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. I never watch reaction videos, and it's because I feel like if you're filming yourself reacting to something, you're not having a true reaction.
Right.
Because you're aware of being watched. And so,
right, it's performative for sure.
Right. So like, to me, it never feels real. Like, it feels fake.
No, you're absolutely
not
right.
Not totally staged, but I'm just saying, like,
right,
I feel like every emotion is enhanced.
Right, right. But when you're absolutely right. But when it's something like this where there are genuine surprises, you see them hit. Like,
okay.
Almost every single person, when you start to hear Duel of Fates.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, what? No.
Yeah, they brought it back.
You son of a bitch. You did it. Because it hooks you right back into those prequel films.
It makes you nostalgic for the prequels, which is wild.
Yeah.
Wild times.
Because it's he's one of the best parts.
He's the best part. He is the best part, I would say. But he's sort of universally lauded for his performance in a series of movies that are typically very panned.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I guess that's why they brought him back. But also, he's a really interesting character. We've never seen what happens in those in-between years.
Yeah.
He's a great actor. He's still, you know, top of his game.
Yeah.
Bring him back. But also, now, I think definitely after Rise of Skywalker, it's like, it sort of makes you nostalgic for these other movies where it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't have been so hard on them.
Right.
You know, they had interesting things to say. And
there's a whole younger than us.
Who love them.
Love
it.
So it's they're Obi-Wan
young
anyway.
When it came out, Phantom Menace, I wasn't in high school yet. I was.
No, but
I was a young person seeing.
There are younger people now who it was all three of them were always ubiquitous together, like on TV or in a DVD set.
Yeah.
Like the way the original Star Wars was for us when we were kids.
Right. Like, it came out before our time, but we would just watch it a lot.
Right. It was always an entity. It was always there.
Yeah.
And he's their Obi-Wan. I find The opening of it I find heartbreaking. They mix two scores together. One is the typical Force theme, but then like also like the theme. It's not Duel of Fates. It's similar though. Battle of Heroes or whatever. Whatever they play at the end of Episode 3 when Anakin and Obi-Wan are having that long ass fight, which Mallory Rubin recently said that was her favorite fight in all of Star Wars, and that's maybe my least favorite fight of all Star Wars because it's so rehearsed, it's so such a ballet that I feel like there's no stakes at all. Anyway, and he says, you know, the battle's over, we lost, stay hidden. It's just heartbreaking. It's like, oh my God, what is this guy's life? Yeah. And remember, he doesn't know yet about Darth Vader. He thinks he killed his best friend.
That's right. But he must hear whisperings. I mean, the Empire is all around.
Well, I don't know. See, this is a problem I'm worried about with this, which is they've said that there's going to be a fight scene in this between Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, which...
What?
Yeah. Which I will involve then retconning...
Star Wars,
right? Because he says... The last time I saw you, you were the master and I was a teacher.
Yeah.
Or I was the whatever. I was the Boy Scout.
Oh,
what did he say?
You were the Scoutmaster and I was the Boy Scout.
I was the pickle, you were the bun. And...
you know, that old phrase.
That old chestnut. And so, you know, we assumed... Well, and we were right that the fight at the end of Episode 3 was what they were referring to, but now they have to retcon that. I don't, and you know, prequel fans are so excited by Hayden Christensen being back to play Darth Vader. I feel like you could do this whole show without Darth Vader. You don't need Darth Vader. You don't need them to have them fight. There is that one moment of him maybe realizing that he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or does he know they're alive? Does he know? No, he doesn't. So,
this is my first time seeing you post COVID.
Yes.
How you doing?
It was fine.
All right. You got your vax. You got your boosts.
Yeah.
You're okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was honestly, I almost feel bad saying how not a issue it was. It was like a headache. I've had sniffles worse.
Yeah.
It really was like,
listen,
it wasn't great. I felt tired for sure. But you know what? How much more than normal tired? Weren't I always tired anyway? So, he leaves. You could see there's other planets on this trailer,
right?
So thank God, because after that Boba Fett show,
oh man, which I don't like,
was a mixed bag. Let's call it a mixed bag. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. Some people loved
a couple episodes.
The Mandalorian shit that just shoved into
there. It is.
Some people were like, "Is this what we always wanted? Is this what we wanted? Did we want him being like a good guy?"
Yeah, it doesn't feel earned. I don't want to get into
it. Anyway, but people were like, "God damn, let's leave Tatooine." So
yeah,
so thank God. I could see them having a trailer with all Tatooine. Like, no, cut some other shit into this. He's got to go.
Well, it looks like he's back at that bar planet from Attack of the Clones.
Is that Coruscant or is there somewhere
else? I think it is Coruscant because they're protecting Padme.
Yeah.
He's getting a drink at the bar while Anakin has to go scope it out. I'm like, is he just going there for drinks every now and then? Even though he's supposed to be in hiding.
He's just a raging alcoholic on Tatooine.
Oh man, who would know?
So dry.
Are we seeing Liam Neeson?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's a hard probably.
Yeah.
Because people have speculated like if those lines in the trailer. Or in the trailer, who is he talking to?
Yeah.
Is he talking to Liam Neeson? Is he talking to Bail Organa? Will we see a little Leia in it? Will he check out how she's coming along?
I mean, he's supposed to be hiding. Like, he shouldn't be anywhere else.
Right. People are already criticizing, like, why would he ever leave where Luke is?
Yeah.
But it's like...
he's there to hide and to protect.
Right.
Not to, like, around carousing.
But the Inquisitors seem to be the main bad guys, and they've been in the cartoons, and they hunt down Jedi. They're former Jedis that hunt down Jedis and kill them.
Former Jedis.
Yeah, I think so. Most of them are former Jedis.
Okay.
Turned Jedis.
Yeah. Now, this is post-66, or?
I think...
Pre-66?
I think at 66.
They're like, wait, no, we'll join you.
No, I think they were some straight-up turncoats.
Okay.
You like, people that were kind of dark-sidey already, and they were like, they saw the way the wind was blowing.
They're like, no.
They're like, yeah, I'm with you. and they find Force-sensitive babies and, like, murder them. Ooh. They're real bad. They're bad guys. They're jerks. And
real meanies.
So he would, I guess, try to pull them away from Luke. I want a scene, right, where he's talking to, it's like a comedy scene in my head. He's talking to the ghost of Liam Neeson. And Liam Neeson's there. No one could see him. Only Obi-Wan could see him. And then there's like a Tatooine denizen talking to him. And the Tatooine denizen is like, what's your name? And he's like, oh, Obi-Wan Kenobi. And then Liam Neeson's like, don't tell him your real name. And he's like, oh, no, Ben. Old Ben Kenobi.
That's what you heard. Like, not Obi-Wan.
Why would you change your first name?
I know, Kenobi. Kenobi's super common, yeah, though, in Star Wars. You don't know.
And then he's like, and I'm sure you changed Luke's name. And he's like, oh, yeah, I totally did. Nah, I didn't do that.
No, he's still Skywalker.
So his name is Skywalker.
Yeah.
He's with his aunt and uncle. That name isn't Skywalker, but yeah, he still goes by Skywalker.
He still
goes
by Skywalker.
You get what we're doing here,
right? They got him as a newborn and didn't raise him as their child.
Yeah.
No, it's my stepbrother's kid.
Yeah.
They introduce him to people.
You know, Obi-Wan, I don't think you get what we're doing here.
I understand for the purposes of the first Star Wars film, right? They didn't know any of this was going to turn into the kind of crazy, expansive thing that it has become. And so you don't want Luke to be going through this like crazy, horrible experience of like losing his parents immediately. Yeah. Like you need him to sort of have like distance from them and also to know that eventually Darth Vader is going to be revealed as his father. So we're going to have, you know, parentage, like I was going to say like exceptional parentage elsewhere. You
they're
know,
the
this,
only
this
thing
farm
keeping
boy
him there.
Is
like
really
you need them to die just to let him
to
off
get
the
rid
hook
of him. Right.
To go.
So they can't be his parents.
Right.
But
it's very superhero-y.
Oh, yeah, very much so. Yes, it's sort of a Superman thing where it's not really
right.
your parents.
Or Uncle Ben. Not Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben does
Uncle
rice.
Ben in, no, Uncle Ben in Spider-Man.
Is it Uncle Ben?
It's also Uncle Ben.
Yeah, okay. Right.
He's very accomplished.
Aunt May and Uncle Ben. Yeah.
He's got a successful rice business and he's got his nephew.
Yeah.
So I get that. But if you're looking at it practically, right, why on earth wouldn't they raise him as their child? They got him as a newborn baby.
I feel like they do. To me, it's just why don't they call him
Lars,
which is their name.
Right. Or be like, you're our kid. Who's going to know? We live out here in the desert.
Oh, like
why
even
pregnant.
Say you're adopted and you have a father?
Yeah.
And
you're just our kid. Yeah. Right. Thank you, Bill. The Organas did it. And it didn't change Leia's experience.
They weren't like, hey. Yeah. You're not really a princess. You're a fucking
Just so you know.
Yeah.
It means like Owen. Not was it? It's Owen, right? Or is Owen the? Okay. I get him confused because I have seen the prequel so many times because it was on all the time. I get him confused with his dad who marries Shmi.
I think that's Kleeg.
It's Kleeg. I'm like, is it Kleeg? It's Owen.
Uncle
it's
Owen and Aunt
Owen
Beru.
Beru. Yeah.
And Aunt Beru's the same Aunt Beru.
No way.
From episode 3 as
they
well.
They brought her back?
She came back from Scientology. Not Scientology. The other one. The Rainier one.
No.
The Smallville one.
Oh, jeez.
Nexus, yeah.
Nexium.
Yeah, Nexium.
Just like the stomach medicine you take.
Yeah. She was an early turncoat on that. She was an early whistleblower.
Holy cow. Oh, wow. Okay.
So we stand her. She was a good guy. I think I could be wrong, but she's in those documentaries. I think when like the harem started, she was like, this is weird. I'm out of this. But you have Edgerton as Uncle Owen.
He's great.
Glad we cast him back then. Huh?
Glad we got
that
right?
worked out
I
for
know,
everybody.
That was a stroke of luck.
Yeah,
he was the one where you'd go back and watch those movies and be like, "Oh crap, it's Joel Edgerton! Look
right,
at that!" And
right.
now he's like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna bring him right back."
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
But it's cool because it seems like it gives him a lot more of a stake in Luke personally, and being like he's also trying to protect him. There's is it in a comic or is it?
Yeah,
it is. Okay.
In the
where he's
comic,
like, stay away from my kid.
Right. In the comic, like you see, he has a sort of relationship with Obi-Wan. That's like, Obi-Wan's like, I want to train him. And he's like, no. And Obi-Wan's like, well, let me see him. And he's like, no, stay away. What do you call it? Jabba takes collection money from everybody.
Right. That's it. And they don't bother them.
And yeah. And he, you know, what do you think about seeing? That's another big moment is seeing little Luke playing on the little igloo thing. It looks
he's
playing pod race.
Yeah.
Pod race. He's like, yippee.
So cute. It's so sweet. It's like his head's always been elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you can't blame him. He's just on a moisture farm in the middle of the desert, but
I know. One of my favorite lines in the original movie.
So dry there.
Is if there's a bright spot in the galaxy, this is the planet farthest from. It seems sad. It seems, I don't know. I'm excited about it. I wasn't not excited about it, but I also was like, oh, it's another Star Wars thing that's happening. Mm-hmm. But when the trailer dropped, I was like, wow, now I'm actually very excited about it.
Yeah. I'm excited too.
And they're like limited series.
Yeah.
This is all you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going to be a movie originally. And then they were like, you know, let's do a show. Shows are better now.
Shows are better now.
We do shows better now.
Yeah.
We all Sometimes. Agree that we do shows better, right?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, this goes back to, all right. Have we talked at all about Boba Fett on the show?
No, I don't think we have.
This goes back to what...
We've talked about it, like, via text.
Right.
Many times.
I liked it more than you.
Yes.
You were... I think your feelings were felt by a lot of people.
I know, and I really try not to be a hater, and I typically... Like, for instance, my Last Jedi thoughts are... actually like sort of the opposite of what everybody seems to say about that movie. But I think I was in keeping with probably like the big group about this.
Yeah. You found
the Robert Rodriguez's of it all.
Right. You found the young kid, cyberpunk kids, stupid, or at least they seem stupid in juxtaposition to the stark realism of Tatooine. Like they look like Power Rangers and stuff.
I called them Power Rangers. I was like, what are these like candy colored bikes? Like, who is this for?
I loved it.
I know you did. I know you did. I was just like, but why? Not that you can't do new and interesting things in Star Wars. I think The Mandalorian shows us that you can, and it's really cool.
Right.
This I did not find cool. I was just found it lame. I was like, oh man.
Well, it goes back to what I believe,
mm-hmm.
Which is that it was supposed to be season 3. Like, it's not. It's so people,
yeah.
Like, especially when everyone was like, oh, you're just shoving in Mandalorian stuff now with baby, you
it
know,
just didn't
Grogu's
feel
in it already.
Seamless.
And it's like, yeah, because this is Mandalorian season 3. For some reason, they decided to not call it that anymore. But that's what it is.
Yeah.
They always were called chapters. This was just, it was just like, for one season, we're going to tilt a little bit, but not entirely. You're still gonna see the people we like.
Nothing was developed in the present, you know. Yeah. So like, we got a lot of flashbacks of him escaping from the Sarlacc maw,
which is all you ever wanted to see. Yeah. Right, that's all you ever wanted to see.
It's very cool stuff in there, like cool that he saw the body of the stormtrooper next to him and was like, oh shit, right. I better get out of here. Cool that he gets picked up by
Jawas.
The Tusken. And oh, was it the
Jawas?
Well, Jawas picked him up, and then the Tuskens
steal his shit.
Yeah, the Jawas steal his stuff, and then the Tuskens pick him up.
Right.
But
then it's like a savage with, a civilized man with savage story,
yeah,
like dances with wolves.
Sort of weird. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I do like the humanizing of these, like the Jawas and the Tuskens.
Yeah.
In The Mandalorian and this.
Right.
But I didn't find it all that compelling.
It's not. He is not. Look, everyone.
Oh, Tamara Morrison.
No. I'm not going to say anything about him or his performance. I'm just going to say the character is a great design. That's all he was. He was originally a design for Stormtrooper, and they were like, nah, that's not right for Stormtroopers, but keep that because that looks awesome.
Yeah.
And then when they were like, Boba Fett, oh, go back to that design you had. That looks cool. And everyone was, and then it appeared in a cartoon first.
Then they did Mandalorian instead.
Right.
Made that really, really good. And they're like, now let's do Boba Fett.
And it's like, no, you did it already. Like, it's like you wrote a first draft and then a second and third. And by the fourth draft, you got somewhere really good. And then you're like, let's do first draft anyway. And it's like, no, that's,
you
took
all
the
money
that were cool out of Boba Fett and put it into Mando. We don't need Boba Fett anymore.
Yeah, we don't need Boba Fett. Right, because Mando is like,
he's got the look,
he's a man of few words in the beginning.
He does take his fucking helmet off.
Never takes it off. Like, it's great.
Boba never has a helmet on anymore.
No, he doesn't. I've seen Tamara Morrison's face constantly.
I've seen it more honestly than I need to see.
He's always nude in his back to tank.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's constantly in a back to tank dreaming. Like, that's the entire show. So it's like, you're getting stuff that's happening with Mandalorian. You're getting flashbacks, and you're getting very, very little of the present. And I found the present storyline to be the one that I cared about the least, because they give you stuff. They give
and
you
they
little
don't
breadcrumbs.
Care about it either.
Right. No, they don't. Like, I genuinely wasn't 100% sure what was happening with the syndicate, because every time you went back, I'm like, okay, who's the bad guy here? Like, what?
Right. And also, it just doesn't make sense because he's like, I'm going to take over for Jabba. But then he's like, I'm going to be good. And it's like, so you're going to be a good crime boss?
Right. It doesn't make
like, how
sense.
Can you be in charge without running the crime?
Also, what a face turn. Totally unearned. Like, he goes from being a bounty hunter and then the Tuskens pick him up and he's like, no, I'm going to be really nice to the people who captured me, basically, and figure it out with them. And then when they get killed, I'm just going to make it my mission to be good to everyone all the time.
Yeah.
It's Fett Lasso.
I don't get that reference because I've not watched that show.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. Yeah, no, it didn't work for me. I like Chrysantin. Chrysantin's really cool.
He's a big, scary fucking Wookiee.
Yeah, love him.
But again, he's not from that. He's from comics. So he's a comics character.
So he's a comics character. Like, for instance, I never watched any of the animated series. So when
Cad Bane
shows up, I knew he was someone, but like it didn't really land for me. I know people really, really loved it. The design looks great. I mean, he looks great.
Yeah.
But it was kind of meaningless for me.
It's the opposite of the way people were feeling about the Grand Inquisitor, because the Grand Inquisitor in the trailer for Obi-Wan looks so different. He's so much sleeker in the Rebels cartoon, and he's voiced by
Jason Isaacs,
Lucius Malfoy. Mm-hmm. And in this, he's what's his name? Friend?
Rupert Friend.
Yeah. And just the makeups, his head looks bulbous.
His head looks so big.
And there've been like memes of like someone put like Dan Aykroyd's head from Coneheads on him, and like everyone's making fun of the way it looks. And it's like, it's always a gamble when you take these cartoon characters.
Something that looks cool drawn. Live action. Not great drawn. In live action. Also, like, Danny Trejo's character is introduced and then we never see him again.
Well, it's just because Danny Trejo saved Rodriguez's family from a fire, and he was like, I owe you a life debt.
I will always
you will be
you
in everything.
Listen, I love him. I love the Rancor. I love that it's that was one thing I absolutely loved about the series. I will say, when he explains the Rancors are actually like really sweet and they have a very strong bond with people, and that's why the Rancor trainer cries in Jedi. Yeah. You're like, why is he crying over this freaking monster? Yeah. And it's like, no, they're actually wonderful. We love them. They're totally misunderstood.
I feel like that's a lot of current liberal Star Wars. Like Jawas... Tusken Raiders, like everybody's good,
they're all good,
they're not bad.
Boba's good.
There's even a story in one of the short story books
good.
About the fucking snake monster and the trash compactor.
Yeah,
like he's good too. Everybody's good.
Well, I mean, you know, it's funny. Somehow YouTube really locked onto this algorithm for me where it's like, if it's less than 5 minutes and it's a shark video, it's on the top of my For You suggested videos, and I will always watch it because I'm like, yeah, I got 49 seconds. I gotta watch a shark video.
Yeah.
And I find that this has also been like the tenor of just like the conversation in general, like Shark Week has to do like a lot more conservation stuff because they realized they were perpetuating this like horrible myth about like great whites being just vicious man-eating hunters constantly, and they're like, oh no, they're actually endangered and they're really curious animals and they're not gonna eat you most likely. And like I feel like that's the Star Wars thing, like every monster is like, oh no, I'm sorry, we did a lot of damage back then, let's try to right the wrongs.
Oh,
Rancors are endangered.
It's Rancor week. Oh, it's my favorite week.
I live every week like it's Rancor week. It did not move the way I expected
it
to move.
Tatooine Television Network.
I love it.
It looked good. He looked cool, and he like Boba Fett riding a fucking Rancor.
The minute they introduced him, I was like, I want to see Boba Fett on a Rancor.
Right, and he says, "I've ridden things bigger," which would be a reference to his original animated appearance in the Star Wars Christmas special, where he's riding some giant dragon or whatever.
Okay, yeah. There's also the Jennifer Beals character who I wanted more from.
She just dies.
Her thing was just like saying hello to people who entered her bar and then blowing up.
Right.
A waste of a character.
I kept waiting to be like, she's behind all of this shit. You're gonna find out that she's the real power in Tatooine. Mm-hmm. She's got everybody working for her, and then she just blows up.
What a waste of a great actor.
And then in the next episode, I'm like, she's gonna be alive though. And then they just show a fucking hollowed out husk of a bar, and it's like, oh no. Mm-mm. Yeah, you you're bad at everything, Boba Fett. You're a bad. You're not bad the bounty best bounty hunter. Let's be honest, you're not the best bounty hunter. You had that one big bounty and you fucked that up. Okay, that's number one, and then got eaten. Number two, you're not good at being a Tusken Raider because all your friends died. You're not good at being a crime boss. Mm-mm. You're not good.
He keeps failing up. Yeah, like he really does.
Like he's just like fucking king of the world by the end of it. It's like, why?
What have you done? You besides ride this Rancor, which was very cool.
Your instincts are always wrong.
Think about what you would do and then just do the opposite of that. And you'll be okay, I think.
Yeah.
What about how it ends where it's like he's giving Chrysantin food or something? And they're like, what? He gets some food. Oh, Chrysantin.
It's a freeze frame.
Yeah. They do a high five. You're like, what the fuck is this show?
Yeah.
Grogu is there, though. And we love him.
I'm going to say that this whole segment, let's not do the other trailers. Because we just spent more than a half hour talking about. Yeah,
once we get a jabbering.
Well, we did Obi-Wan trailer and we did the recap of Boba Fett, which we did not do. So you got the content you came for.
You got
for.
Enough. Listen, you don't worry about the other trailers.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else I want to say about fucking Boba Fett? Yeah. It was a rough go, huh?
Yeah.
It was like every week. It was like, more flashbacks.
I know. So many flashbacks.
I know. And what's her name? The really cool character that's his like right-hand person.
Oh, Fennec Shand.
Yeah. Like, why is she with... Like, it feels like it doesn't make sense that she seems smarter than him, faster than him,
better than him at everything.
Everything. Like, why is she like, I'm with you forever, boss?
He saved her. He got her... modded after the Mandalorian sort of left her for dead.
But she could have been like, I did not consent to this. I'd rather have been dead. Like, that's a big decision made for somebody that now you're a cyborg.
Right, yeah. Yeah, true. And she goes with it. She's like, yep, cool.
She's like, all right.
We're partners now.
I think everything you say and think is wrong. But we are partners
now.
I'm
in this with you.
For some inexplicable reason... I am going to hell and back with you. All right, well, this is PCMC. We'll come back with the chill sesh.
All right.
Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bogiorno. I'm joined by Janine Gagliardi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Feeling caffeinated?
I am.
We went to Dunkies. I got some Dunkies.
Yes, thank you.
Dunkies is good.
I always need caffeine.
I said, do you want some Dunkies? And you were like, yes, always. Thank you.
Always. Always, always.
Yeah.
I'll never turn it down.
Yeah, I'll never turn down any coffee. I've never been like, no, I'm good. Mm. If you're offering coffee, I'm going to take it.
Unless I had a cup a moment before you're asking me, I will absolutely have it.
No, not for me. I'll take
you
it.
You just have another one?
I'll be like, yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's great.
So this is a chill shush. Mm-hmm. This is a shush or shush.
We haven't done a fully in a while. I call them fullies. Full ups.
No, you and I haven't done a fully in a while.
True, true, true.
I did a fully with Vin. What, last week?
Okay.
Yeah.
We're switching it up. We're doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I miss these. I like these.
Yeah, you throw them in. We had like almost a year straight of nothing but
topic episodes.
Yeah, which is some of them are laborious.
The Matrix certainly was.
Oh my God.
Every so often you text me like, hey, remember that week when we were really into The Matrix?
And that week wasn't in 2001. That week was like it was this year.
Recently.
That was 2021. Boy, we could say in hindsight now, that film bombed, huh? The Matrix 4. I mean, I don't know how what counts as success on streaming.
Yeah, true.
But it was... what a failure. Yikes. There will not be a Matrix 5.
Well, maybe she knows what she's doing. She did not want to have a Matrix 5.
You think she tanked it? She took a dive?
I don't know. She followed her heart, and maybe her instincts, just like Boba Fett's, are wrong.
everything you're saying is wrong. I'm just thinking about fucking, what's his name, from Billy Madison. Every oh. word.
We are all dumber for it.
Yeah.
I would not no once. Point. And may God have mercy on your soul.
Not once in that inane rambling did you come anywhere close to a coherent thought. that's spending chance of all that. So what have you been chilling with?
Chilling with. Okay. I finished Pen 15 finally.
Oh, yeah. What did you feel about the final episode? Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert for Pen 15. So I, all right. So we were both like, oh, wow, tonally it got really kind of heavy towards the end. But then it got really, really light again.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think this has been said a lot in like criticisms about the finale. Positive critiques. Just that like tonally it sort of matches how... for adolescents, things can go from like very adult one second to being very, you know, childish the next. So they're thrust into this world of like really being teenagers. Right. Before
creepy older
teenagers.
Guys who like make you give them blowjobs and it's all
and it's
gross.
Not even that much older. It's just like they've like crossed the thresholds of being teens and these girls have not yet.
And most of their other quote unquote love interests were kid actors and these two guys
are adults
like them which they're so good in their roles that conceit you forget that conceit a lot that like oh yeah remember the original conceit here is these are two grown-ups playing children
I
think it stuck the landing.
I think so too,
more than I thought it was going to. I was like happy. I was like, oh wow, they did it, they brought it, they tied it up, and I like it.
I think if it ended on that dark tonal note, it sort of would have been in like a bummer ending. Yeah. I'm glad Maya got her first kiss.
Yeah.
That was really sweet. I love the Rob Thomas smooth.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Those things were really, really funny.
Yeah.
And then it was sweet that like ultimately their relationship is prioritized over every other relationship have.
And her Maya's friend, the boy who always had a crush on her, like finally like told her.
Yeah.
And Anna finally admits that she has a crush on Maya's brother.
Right.
And the final scene I thought was masterful because it's this conversation between Maya and Anna that leans towards breaking the fourth wall, but in a very clever way that calls into mind the whole conceit of them being adults, looking backwards, where they're like, they have that...
They speak like adults for a second.
Yeah, there's one, and what she describes is something that probably will happen. Where she's, one of them is like, "What if when we get older, we just make other friends and we grow apart, and then we have things that we're." And they start describing like adult life that they would never.
They would never know.
So it feels fourth wall breaking. Yeah. But then the sweet turn is then. I think Maya's like, yeah, but what if we're just best friends and we live in houses
and
next
like,
to each
I
other?
I make lunch every day and you make dinner every day. And it's
so
it's
sweet.
Like, yeah.
And it was a perfect way to end it.
And it's like, we have kids, but all a couple years apart. And then in my head, I'm thinking like, actually, you had kids the same year. And it was really cute.
Yeah.
Because they were pregnant at the same time in real life, which is sweet.
Yeah, it was very, because it's, you know, it's true. That is what's going to happen to your child. Your best friendships are so interesting in terms of intense relationships.
Yeah.
Because as kids, you have these best friendships that are intense. Mm-hmm. Often they just grow. You just grow out of them, which is crazy.
Yeah. I am still very close friends with my childhood best friend. And now
all of them?
No, certainly not. And she also wasn't the most, I mean, for a while, she was probably the most intense friendship in my life because we were very, very young best friends.
Yeah.
But then we did grow apart and then we grew close again. And now our sons are best friends.
Nice.
We worked that out. So that was good.
You made it happen.
We made it happen. We willed it into being.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I have friends from my childhood too, but.
You're like, we all have friends, Gene. Stop bragging.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of bragging a little bit. but, you know, it's weird. Like, I remember when I was a little kid, we moved in New York from Brooklyn to Staten Island. And I was, like, so heartbroken because, like, all my friends were there. And I remember my dad being like, you're going to have a million best friends in your life. And me being like, I don't understand at all what you're saying. I remember my dad going, the guy who was the best man at my wedding, I haven't talked to him in years.
Yeah.
And me being like, what are you saying?
It's so tough.
Me and what's his name are going to be best friends forever.
It's so tough to try to like help your kid, but you're applying adult logic to a situation that they cannot wrap their head around.
And it's
tough. Like, for instance,
things will end.
Right.
Things will end.
Things will end. Like, those big concepts, like, they have no way of grasping at that point.
Yeah.
And they think, like, it's the end of the world. They really feel that way. And you can't, nothing you can do or tell them and reassure them, like, this is not
it. Only hurts them more to tell them, don't worry, you won't care about this. Like, you know, even like, even like if you have a crush or something and it doesn't work out. Like,
oh, right. Because it's the end of the world. An older person would be like, don't worry,
you won't even think about them in 10 years.
Yeah.
And you're like, what are you talking about? I'm madly in love with them. That doesn't make me feel better. That makes me feel
way worse.
Way worse.
Well, I loved that scene when Maya and Anna go home and Anna's like laying on her mom's lap and they're on the phone with the dad. Yeah. And she's like, I'm not sure about Steve. Like, he doesn't respect my feelings, but I want to get married to him. The dad is just laughing. It's a really, really sweet moment.
I love the dad from Home Improvement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Yuki episode.
Oh
my God. What a beautiful love about letter to Maya's mom. Directed by Maya Erskine, which is so sweet.
Yeah.
It's like, because as a child, I think it's difficult to imagine your parents have a life before you.
Right.
Or outside of your family unit.
Right.
That, like, you could have desires and...
Right. And you saw her older brother's father.
Yeah, you never see. I actually wasn't even aware, like, throughout the series that he wasn't... her full brother.
Yeah, that was such a... And I liked it in the opening, where the typical opening montages, you see pictures of the main characters as kids. You see a bunch of pictures of the woman who plays Maya's mother.
She's so cool. Yeah, she looked so cool.
Yeah. And like she worked on a film set. Like,
yeah, she worked for bands.
Yeah, it's just so... It was great, because that character... I don't think that character was flat, but I feel like that character could have easily been overlooked. So I liked looking at that character.
She could have been one note, and they really gave her a lot to do, which I thought was sweet. And it's also played by a non-actress, her actual mother.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's her real mother.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's similar to like the Aziz Ansari using his real
parents.
And it's interesting they use her mother but not her dad. Yeah. Maybe they're like, no, he couldn't do the lines.
Nah, he sucks. No, she did it. She
did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a really wonderful episode.
Yeah. I think I liked season 3 better than 2.
Okay.
I mean, I liked it all.
It's only 2 seasons, right? But it's like 2 part 1, 2 part 2.
Oh, is it?
I think so, yeah.
It's also foggy to me.
Bill was saying, like, poor Maya's mom, because it seems like Maya was a real handful when she was this age, and she got through it, and now it's like, she's doing great, she's an actor, she's, like, really doing it, she's got her own show, and then it's like, mom, come be my mom on the show. Oh, and we're gonna just go through all the most annoying points of my life again.
Remember how I was super weird?
I'm gonna do that all over again. Yeah.
When you were a kid, do you think you were more a Maya or an Anna?
I definitely a hybrid, I would say. But I'm probably more of an Anna, I think.
I was definitely more of a Maya.
Yeah.
I definitely
made weird things, but I think...
Masturbating all over the place. Just odd.
Some of Anna's things specifically, it like hit really close to home, like outfit choices she had, or like things that she... Like, my parents were not divorced at the time, but just like certain like circumstances,
feeling,
or like
feeling
she had an eighth grade boyfriend. I had like a very intense eighth grade boyfriend.
Right.
You know, that my parents also were like, what, this guy? Those things. I'm like, oh yeah, totally Anna. I get it.
Yeah. I love the one episode where she's really into wrestling.
Oh my God, I know. I was also like very tall and gangly at that age.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, body type wise, I really appreciate Anna.
Not now though.
No, well, not the gangly part, no.
No, I love that, because kids do that. Like, you just like, this is my personality right now, really hard.
Yeah, I'm totally into this. Or when she becomes like the stage director during the play.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah. So good. I saw The Batman.
Okay. I did not.
You've not seen The Batman?
I haven't.
Well, then let me say. It's
You're like,
good.
I'm just going to be really spoiler heavy right now.
It's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Where do you want to place it in the pantheon of Batman films?
Oh, I would say, see, I think The Dark Knight and The Dark Knight Rises are great movies, but not great Batman movies.
Interesting.
Like
The Dark Knight, I would say, is a great Joker
this
movie.
This could be a good sequel to Batman Begins, because it's a year two movie.
Oh,
like, you could watch Batman Begins and then The Batman,
okay,
and it would flow perfect.
Yeah. Well, true. Dark Knight, the thing I remember the least about The Dark Knight is Batman.
Right. He's not even really... It becomes this sort of ensemble political thriller
yeah.
that's really not about Batman like as a centralized Dent is really compelling character.
In it. Joker's yeah. amazing yeah. in it.
No, I love those movies. But it's excellent. But my part of me is kind of like...
I didn't really like Rises.
That's fine. No.
I like Catwoman. I like the Anne Hathaway performance. I think it's really strong.
Joey Kravitz is great as Catwoman.
I've heard wonderful Fantastic. Things.
And Penguin's really good.
I forgot Penguin's yeah. in this movie.
Which is so weird.
I love Colin
Farrell. Why not just...
God, he's fighting his hotness too.
Just hire a fat guy. Like, why would you take Colin Farrell and then put him in a ton of makeup and have him do a
remind you
of
how
impression?
Hot he is.
That's another thing people aren't talking about, which is he's clearly doing a De Niro impression. But part of me is like, why do we need this? And I know art is
right,
art.
Yeah, why do
art
we
is
need
art, and
Batman?
You should never ask why do we need it, because there's no answer to that. The answer is because it's fucking art. Like,
well, I don't know that you make a Batman movie to make art. Although,
you know what I mean. Like,
more and more people are making art with Batman movies, which I think is cool,
right?
Because they're also making money,
right? But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I love Ghostbusters Afterlife because I love Ghostbusters, but people are like, do we need this? And I'd be like, what do you mean? But part of me is like, do we need like the third Batman?
I know,
like,
it's essentially just like
years?
A reboot and a reboot and then another reboot.
Right. I mean, I do think this film benefits from that. It benefits from not having to be the quote unquote official Batman movie. Like it feels mm-hmm. like it has the ability to be like, you know, a miniseries or its own like offshoot comic.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can do whatever we want because it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm interested because you immediately were like, this is like the angstiest Batman yet.
Oh,
and
so emo-y.
Like, I think it kind of works for it. Because I know you're very anti like the dark Zack Snyder verse.
Right.
And like how dark it is. But like, this is extremely dark.
Right. But
what do you find like differentiates it? Like what makes it good?
I think a lot of Zack Snyder's darkness is truly service level dark.
It's just physically
we
dark.
Turn the lights
like,
out.
We cannot see.
Whereas this is truly noir-y. I mean, it's depressing.
Mm.
You know, this is a Gotham
That's
where
good.
This is a Gotham where it rains every night and he's out every night and it's dirty.
Mm.
It's such a
Gotham's the worst city right. in the world. That's
it's
what no
worse.
One ever says. It's the if you lived there, you'd kill yourself.
This is the worst Gotham, by the way. This is worse than Gotham of
worse than when they had that like island where they kept all the poor people in the middle
no,
of Gotham.
This is way worse. This is like remember like Taxi Zay Driver? Like when you'd have Travis Bickle driving around like Hell's Kitchen in the 70s.
Okay, so it's just like junkies
it's just hell.
And
yeah, it's just hell. Like,
you have
it's
to
just,
use the word junkies for that, not drug addicts.
Yeah,
it's like
just
these are junkies
and
pimps
rats and dirty newspapers yeah. and sex workers and gang members.
Yeah.
And,
no, when it's the 1970s, you can't say sex workers.
But you have to say child yeah. hookers.
These are kid hookers.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
nothing
this,
redeemable
this
about
is the
them.
The most depressing.
Oh my God.
Gotham. But yeah, it's depressing. And because it's a year two story, he is kind of angsty. Like he has an early scene where he's like, "You're not my dad, Alfred." Like for real. Like
wait, which
it's
Alfred
kinda
is
shitty
it?
In the beginning. You're kind of like, "I don't know if I like this guy."
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't think Batman in general is a very likable character. I don't think that's a hot take either. I think he's kind of like just a weirdo.
Right.
I think people realize that they're like, "Oh, he's a rich weird rich boy
right.
and he just dances around in a costume
right.
and he's just really strong and everybody, you know, is
and
afraid of him."
This movie does
I don't think you'd ever want to hang out with
right.
him.
Oh, no. This movie does what the Joker movie did, which is all, kind of flirts with the line of talking about Batman's privilege, but doesn't go the full way. But I think it worked better in this than in the Joker.
Now, the Joker movie is not in any universe, or is
no.
in this universe?
No, it's not,
it's not in any universe. Okay. That's a cool aspect of it, though. It's just like its own weird Joker
thing. No, it's its own weird thing, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also haven't seen that, unbelievably. Like
I didn't like that.
Okay.
I didn't like that. That was I'm trying to think of that Gotham. That was a pretty shitty Gotham too, but that was like 80s looks like 70s Gotham. This is a weird comparison, but I just rewatched the first Ninja Turtles movie.
Okay.
And the New York in that is so grimy. It's like
yeah.
it looks
well,
like black and white ink. It's just so gross and it kind of feels like that.
Yeah. I mean, you figure like was it the pre-Giuliani era when he made homelessness a crime? Where right. It was like Jason was taking Manhattan, and if you went to Times Square, you were going to get a staph infection. Right. Like, it was just,
yeah,
it was not great. It was like when New York was considered dangerous, and now New York is considered, like, you know, Disney World,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Although now it's a little bit more dangerous, which, you know, yeah. Great. We're getting our reputation back.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the Gotham of the Batman is pretty unabashedly New York.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in The Dark Knight, it was filmed in Chicago, and, like, you see Chicago landmarks, so you're kind of like, this felt like Chicago.
Yes, like, absolutely.
But in this, there's, like, Gotham Square Garden, and it's Madison Square Garden. Like, in this, there's a Times Square. Like, it's very clearly New York in this.
Interesting. See, even with the Batman animated series, it always felt like Chicago to me.
Right, because I think of...
New York as Metropolis?
No, well, yes. But I think of crime. Like, Al Capone is from Chicago.
Yeah, yeah. The crime bosses. And Falcone's
basically like Al Capone.
Right, yeah.
Like, the crime gangster thing.
Is a Chicago... More of a Chicago right. thing. Which, by the way,
the best way to describe Penguin in this movie. He's like Al Capone.
Okay.
It's actually, like, probably one of the best... adaptations of him, because we all know the Tim Burton one's just nothing like the character.
Mm.
Like, this is like he's a crime guy, and
yeah. Why do they call him the Penguin in this one? I don't know if that's like a crazy spoiler.
I don't know if they
do they ever call him the Penguin?
No, they call him the Penguin constantly.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah.
What's something that
did they explain why?
I don't remember. But something that's changed from just the last 10 years, from like the Dark Knight movies to now, mm-hmm. is when you look at the Dark Knight movies, they're apologetic about what they are. They're like, yeah, we know superhero movies are children, you know, it's for kids and it's stupid. So mm-hmm. we're gonna do it, but we're gonna do it grown up. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Like, we're like, it was embarrassed to do it.
Right.
But in this post Marvel world, I feel like now it's not like that. Like, mm-hmm. this movie, like, you're Batman, you're the Penguin, mm-hmm. you're the Riddler. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, you know, people don't use the terms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Riddler is called the Riddler constantly.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's fine. Mm-hmm. This is a comic movie. We're allowed to say the things.
I mean, how Zodiac did they go?
Pretty good. He's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Although the performance is good, but there's one scene that I feel like I didn't like the performance. It kind of went too much for me.
Okay.
But that's the weird pigeonhole of it, which is like, if you're a Batman villain now, mm-hmm. since Heath Ledger, now it's like, how crazy can you get?
Right.
Like,
I'm going for my Oscar.
Exactly.
I just got cast. I'm going for it.
You're a classic Batman villain. You have to be as insane as fucking possible.
Yeah.
You've got to steal the show with how bananas you are.
Yeah.
You got to bite your own face off.
I mean,
that's
not a spoiler.
He doesn't do that.
I think that was the biggest problem with the Jared Leto performance, because he was just like, Heath Ledger went big, I'm going to go bigger.
Right.
It's like, no.
And you haven't seen the Joker yet, which is, what's his name?
Right.
And Joaquin he won. Phoenix going.
He won. Now it's two people
bananas.
Who played the Joker won Oscars. So now forever it's like, oh, it's
right.
an actor's
right.
role.
Right, right. Yeah. Fuck.
They're acting with a capital A.
Yeah.
All over the place.
What I liked about it was, it didn't try to reinvent the Batman wheel. Mm-hmm. When I watched it, I was like, wow, this is just like a good comic. This is like a good Batman story.
Okay.
Like, they figured out a good Batman story. Even with how stylistic it is, and using like the score is based on a Nirvana song.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one?
Say okay. again?
Something in the Way.
Something in the Way? Yeah, the score, the bomb, but like, that's derived from that song. And that song's played a few times in the movie.
Okay. Okay. So it's the grungiest.
But the
Batman.
Music is, oh yeah. But the music's awesome, actually.
Okay.
It's almost scary. Like, when you see Batman, you hear this music and it's like, oh my God. There's a couple of shots where it's complete darkness and he slowly walks out of it and he's
no.
like Michael Myers. It's like, oh my God, I'm terrified.
Well, how like a horror movie is it? Because I feel like I read somewhere.
The Riddler's pretty scary.
He's like scary. There was something that came out, and I don't know if it was Variety or something, but the initial test screenings of the Batman footage, it was some sequence. I don't know if it was the beginning, but they were like, it was, audiences were too scared of it. And I don't know if they were like, great, we're keeping
that
it, or if they've toned, like, they kind of toned it down a little bit.
That could be the beginning, the sort of the first person that Riddler kills.
Okay. It's like intense.
It's not intense violent, but it's played like a horror scene.
Okay.
It is scary,
mm-hmm.
and it means to be scary,
mm-hmm.
and it's disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in general, the let's turn the Riddler into the Zodiac thing, I think was a stroke of genius.
I think it's so clever. It makes
so much sense. Yeah.
If you were going to do it, like, who in our world is a real life analog for someone like the Riddler who's leaving clues, who's leaving puzzles? It's the Zodiac Killer.
Right, like, yeah, it's perfect.
And he held a whole city hostage. San Francisco was completely at his back at that point. So... yeah, I mean, it's realistic. Like, supervillains exist sometimes.
Right. Basically, Batman is like that reporter from the San Francisco Examiner. Like, at every crime, he leaves a note that says, to the Batman. Mm-hmm. So it's like he's writing to Batman.
Yeah.
So
I really like it when they make Batman like a real detective.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like the Bale movies didn't really do that so much. So is he really detective-y in these? Or
if you're asking, are there scenes where he's on rooftops with binoculars looking at people? The answer is yes.
I don't think he can legally be called a Batman movie if he's not doing that.
That's the height of his detectiveness.
It's one of my favorite commentaries on the Batman the Animated Series, because the director commentary isn't available for like that many episodes, but one of them it is, and it's because they were so upset with how it came out. Uh-huh. Because he's doing his detecting, but it's in broad daylight and he's sitting in a tree, and they're like, this was the biggest mistake we ever made. You never see Batman in full daylight. This is
right.
It's the sun is shining and Batman is sitting in a tree watching these people, and they're like, how are we gonna get him out of this tree? We're just gonna have to cut away.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way we could get
him
out of
way out of this. Yeah. 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 No, there's detective work, because there is a lot of the plot is a lot of the plot is driven by riddles. Like, all right, it's not like the 60s show where he immediately gets it.
OK. Yeah. Yeah.
Also the Riddler, the Riddler's trying to use Batman. Mm-hmm. So like they'll figure out what something means and then that'll lead them to something.
Okay.
And there's a lot of him and Gordon working together.
Mm-hmm.
What I liked about this movie, which you didn't have in the Dark Knight movies, was a real showing how freaky and weird it is to have a Batman.
Okay.
Like, there's scenes where he's there and the cops are like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy is so fucking weird.
Right. It's like Curtis. Because
he's weird. Like, this is the weirdest Batman. He speaks weird. He moves weird.
Robert Pattinson's a weird guy.
No, he's a super weird guy.
He's a weird dude. I mean,
he plays him weird.
I've been a fan of his. I haven't even seen like most of his movies, but I've just been a fan of his process since I read very early interviews with him for Twilight, and they were like, we had to tell him to stop because he was playing Edward Cullen as a sociopath, because he was really trying to get into the mind of someone who's lived as long as he has and like is as powerful as he is, and he was freaking everybody out.
Hey dude, like,
change the performance. Bumming everybody out. Like, this is a teen movie, calm down.
You're bumming everybody out.
And then
out.
He's made the most interesting career choices since.
Yeah.
And I've been like following his stuff but not watching any of it.
Sure.
And just been like, hey, cool man. So it doesn't surprise me at all that he's super weird in this.
He's great. One reviewer said he's more of a presence than a character.
Interesting.
Which I would agree with.
Okay.
But I think his performance does that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you know, there's almost no difference between Bruce Wayne and
okay, it's not Batman. Really like,
yeah, he's not a, two he's personas. Not Playboy Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
He's like recluse. Like, there's one scene where he's in public and people are like, wow, no one's seen you for years. Like,
yeah.
Oh, something cool that I want to spoil. just because I was like, cool. Good on you for doing that. I like that.
Okay.
They make Bruce Wayne's mother, her maiden name is Arkham, and she's from the Arkham family.
Whoa.
And the Arkhams and the Waynes are like the two families that ran.
Cool.
And I was like, smart.
That is cool.
I would have never thought to do that. That's smart thinking.
That is really cool.
It was just a cool. I don't know if any comic has ever done that before, but
okay,
no movie has done it before.
Martha Arkham's kind of a rough name, though.
Yeah, Martha Arkham.
It's Markham. Nope.
Look, it's old Markham. Yeah. So that's the Batman.
All right.
It's a Batman movie. It's a Batman movie.
I love a Batman movie. I do.
So many movies.
Mm-hmm.
With people who are superheroes.
I know. It's true. I know. It's really beating a dead horse saying like, oh, the movie's just for superheroes now. But
I know. Even that is trite.
It's like, trite. It is.
I'm even bored of complaining about superhero movies. That's how...
I mean, at least I think they're raising the bar for superhero movies while they're making it. Because it's like,
yeah,
if we can only make these types of movies, then we're going to attract the best directors. Because guess what? They're not getting
other
projects. Yeah. They have this project to do. And so at least then we're raising the level of discourse and we're, you know, getting better movies.
I also like DC has fully given into nothing has to connect. Like, they finally...
Until they do Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I think with the failure of Justice League, they were like, you know what? We'll keep some of this going, like the Harley Quinn movie and Peacemaker, which I thought was a great show, is in the Zack Snyderverse. But the Joker isn't, and the CW shows aren't. Mm-hmm. And I think it was smart for them to embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because I'm beginning to feel the canon of Marvel is stifling. Everything having to fit in is just chokes you, I think.
Yeah, because now they're doing the street level guys again, and that's kind of tough to fit into everything else now. Now that they've had this crazy MCU just going.
Yeah.
It's going to have to fall apart eventually. Like, some things are not going to fit if they want to keep going.
Right, right.
Or they're just going to have to do more and more obscure characters.
Some of it has, like... For a while, the Netflix show weren't part of it, but then Daredevil appeared in the last Spider-Man movie, so it's like, okay. Right,
so now it is part of it.
But it's like, so then it's...
But then they have the whole new canon of
Jessica
Disney
Jones
Plus shows.
Part of it.
Which she will be now, because she's in this the new trailer for the street level guys.
What's this?
Okay, this was something I saw.
I know that it's on, like, the Netflix shows are now on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So if you want to see, if you remember, that show begins with Jessica Jones just being railed by Luke Cage. So if you want to just see big, strong guy just rail a 90-pound woman on Disney Plus, today's your day.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to go darker with all those shows.
Right.
Like darker tonally than, okay, 6 Marvel TV shows leaving in March. Oh, maybe it was just a cut together trailer to advertise that they were going to be on Disney Plus.
But there's a lot of talks about, are they going to get pulled back into the... Now that Daredevil is, technically, they should be. But it's already suffocating. It's already too much. And it creates a lot of the sameness. Even with different directors, it all feels very samey. And now that they're doing all this multiverse stuff, it's just like... It's more than just connected. This now it's just like all IP exists all at once.
Because
it's like, because the first one was the Spider-Man movie, which everyone in the world loved, which I didn't like. I didn't like Spider-Man. Not Into Spider-Verse, the animated series. That's a great movie. That's my favorite fucking Spider-Man movie. But the last one, No Way Home, which had the three live actions, I did not like it. But anyway, now we have the new Doctor Strange, which will have X-Men from the X-Men movies. Like, you hear Charles Xavier in the trailer.
Yeah.
And most people are saying that Deadpool is in it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you know, so it's just... And then the Flintstones. How about the Flintstones? Let's throw them in there. Like, just... Oh, look, it's Ethan Frome.
There he is on his sled.
Like, all things happening always. Yeah. How about that? Just in the next Spider-Man movie, he just runs into fucking Holden Caulfield and he calls Spider-Man a phony and the audience goes wild. Hey, it's a thing we know. Get off my lawn.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not getting my money because I don't go to the movies.
I don't do anything. So what are you chilling with?
Okay, so we talked about Pen 15.
Yeah.
So worked my way through that. And then I've just been watching. Well, we'll get into it, I guess, with obsessions. But I've just been watching, like, YouTube is like my primary media that I've been consuming. Like, some nights we'll... Like, the kids are in bed, and instead of turning on a show, we're just like, oh, here, I have this, 30-minute YouTube video I want to watch.
Yeah.
I've been finding I'm more and more engrossed in YouTube.
I'm a big YouTube fan.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you want to come back and do obsessions? Take a break and do obsessions?
Sure.
I could use some more coffee.
Yeah.
I'm thirsty. I do that at Jen's, just to be a dick, because she don't offer me things. So I'll be like... I am thirsty.
Since my throat is dry.
CMC, I'm Mike Bongiorno, joined today by Janine Guillotine Gagliardi.
That's me. That's what you always call me.
Janine, this is the obsessions.
That's it.
What are you currently obsessed with?
I have a true obsession.
Oh, I'm glad to hear
lately.
It.
Lately. So we booked a trip to Disney.
Mm-hmm.
First family trip, first one with the kids. It's in September, all the way away in September.
Perfect.
And I'm obsessed now. I'm back. I'm back, baby.
Good.
I'm back. So, a little background.
Mm-hmm.
I have gone to Disney upwards of 20 times. I would say that easily. Like, I used to go like twice a year. And now we live in New York. So, this is not like, I'm not like a Florida resident.
Right.
You know, it's not the easiest thing in the world to get there. So, I was going 2 times a year a lot of the time. And so I was just racking up Disney things. To me, I never needed a map.
We should say, because people hate you right now.
Yeah.
We should say that your mother was a travel agent.
My mother was a travel agent. No. I mean, we weren't poor either. I don't want to like...
Yeah, but right now the audience hates you.
They're like a little rich girl going to Disney World all the time.
Relatable, Janine.
Yeah, right? I know. But no, my mom was a travel agent, and we would get like quite a lot of perks from that. And she could have probably gone on other trips, but she knew I love Disney. So she's like, we're going to do this for a weekend because we can.
And she knew how to score. I went on a vacation with your mother once. You were also there. And I remember.
You also went on another vacation with my mother.
You were not there for that time. And I remember her doing all sort of tricks and gimmicks, like getting us upgraded.
All
sorts of like banana shit.
Yeah.
Like we walked in the room and your mother was like, nah, we'll do better than this.
I know.
And we got a better room. And I was like, you can just do that?
Yeah, right. She's like, nah, never settle. Yeah. You get more.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's right. Bill is always like, I never got any of these perks. Gee, he was in the era post my mom being a travel agent.
Really?
He's never been more envious in his life.
When we went, wasn't she there for like a conference or something? She was there for work.
She did stuff. Yeah, because it was a brand new hotel and she needed to check it out. That was the other thing. Like if it was a new hotel, she'd have to go for work. And then, of course, she'd be like, all right, you're coming. We're going on a trip, which was wonderful.
That hotel, though, I forget what hotel it was.
It was in Universal.
Right.
And it was like
best sushi I think I've ever had though. Remember the sushi?
The sushi restaurant was awesome. It was like the Royal Pacific, I think it was called. It was kind of like the Polynesian version for Universal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very, very cool.
You don't hear a lot about Universal hotels.
No.
But I think Universal is gonna I think they're bound to make a huge leap because people are not happy with Disney and Disney World.
And they're opening the Nintendo World.
Right.
Yeah.
And
they have all the Harry Potter IP.
Right. It's going to be, I think it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
It'll be huge.
It's going to be huge. Mark my words. So
are you back like, are you watching ride videos? Are you watching?
We're doing all of it.
Disney food blog?
Yes. Yes. That's my obsession.
That woman's voice.
Oh, AJ. Da-da-da. I love her voice. It's like almost ASMR for me.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect voice for like long informational videos about Disney,
right.
But that are also fun.
About snacks to get.
Yeah, snacks. Yeah. I have a crazy Ba-da-ba. Long note about snacks. I don't understand the tagline, like let's win Disney, but you know what? I like it.
I get it.
You get it.
Because you could lose Disney.
You could lose it in a moment.
Yeah.
So I'm fully a Parks head
again. Best thing I got from her.
Yeah.
I don't mean to hijack
you. No, you get some great tips. And I mean this sincerely. Like, it's not just about
food. Stay hydrated. Bring water.
Bring your water bottles.
You don't want your kids to have a freak out.
No.
And dehydration is what leads to that.
Refillable stations all around the park. You can get a cup of water at any counter service location. You do not have to buy a Dasani.
Right.
Like, you can stay hydrated the entire time you're there for free.
And you need to. And you need to keep the kids hydrated.
Yes.
Or there will be a problem.
She also was the person who was like, if your child is under 7, get a stroller. Like under 7, which I'm like, what? They don't belong in strollers. But she's like, no, your child will melt down. It's so many miles of walking.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Just get, even if they don't want to walk at first, get them a stroller anyway. I did. We rented a third party double stroller already.
Good.
It's
you gotta are you training? You gotta train for it.
You gotta train for it. You gotta train. Yeah, I gotta get my Disney legs, as you said.
Yeah.
I'm fully immersed. Like, I used to be a crazy parks head. Like, I would tell you where things were, what the new thing was, everything. Because I was there so often, it was genuinely like, oh, okay, we're going back to like summer camp this year. You know, who's new? Like, it, I mean, I realize it's a crazy point of privilege, but that was the fact of the matter at the time, right? And so I haven't been to the parks in 10 years. This is going to be 10 years.
That's like 100 years.
I know. Park years. In parks time, it is like 100 years. So at the time, they were building Be Our Guest. It was being built because they had the like Pardonar.
Be Our Guest.
Like, we're building magic for you. And so Bill and I went. It was actually, so it was the year we got married. So it's our 10th wedding anniversary this year. We went.
God, you've been married 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Holy moly.
So we went that year, and now we're going back as a family, which is really sweet. But we actually did go to Disneyland about 5 years ago. It was my first trip to Disneyland and only trip to Disneyland. And that was pre-COVID, so that was fun and cool. And we got to go on a lot of things, a lot of different rides. And we were talking about Haunted Mansion, like the comparison. But anyway, it is a whole different animal. Like, it has changed so rapidly in the last couple of years.
It's so crazy now.
That even from the time you guys went, it's different.
Right.
So... so learning about all the systems, all the things that you have to do, you know, Genie Plus, individual attraction selections, not needing a magic band, them trying to sell you a magic band even though they used to give it to you for free,
getting rid
of the Magical Express, like all the negative stuff, and then also, you know, all the really, really cool things that they've added, all the ways you can kind of game the system, if you know. And Disney Food Blog has been like, I'm subscribed to the YouTube channel. I get the newsletter.
Right.
I realize they make a lot of money through their affiliate links, and they always try to sell you things. But I find their tips to be really, really good.
Right. Because they do more than food. I mean, it started off as just food. They do
a lot more than food. A lot more.
And it's not even a blog anymore. It's videos.
Yeah. It's better in video. Like, their blog is just like selling you things, basically. Right. Like, they have to make money somehow. Right. I get it. And they do provide a ton of really good content.
Yeah. It really prepares you for planning your trip.
They do best bathrooms in the parks.
Yeah.
They like rank the best bathrooms. They're like where the least crowds are going to be.
Yeah.
Where do you need to go if you have a little kid? So for instance, like, little kids have tons of energy. I never considered this prior because I was, you know, going to the parks myself. But it's like, if you're a little kid in Disney World, you have the most energy you've ever had in your life because you're so excited and you can't run around.
Right.
Because there's crowds. You can't let go of your parents' hand.
Yeah.
You get lost immediately. You're and there's no implode. Place for you to really like run. You just have to like get on a line
you
and
just
wait.
Shake.
Sit on a ride and then like walk with your parent again through a crowd and then wait again. So it's really, really difficult. And she has listed places in each park that you can actually like let a kid run around a little bit where there's not going to be a crowd, like Tom Sawyer's Island in Magic Kingdom. She's like, it's a contained area. There's really not too many crowds. Like, if you can like let go of your kid's hand a little bit and they can run around and get a little bit of that energy off.
Yeah.
Animal Kingdom Park is probably the best because they have those like gorilla paths and tiger paths and stuff. But yeah, so tips like that, like things you're not really thinking of when you're going there. She's like covering this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is definitely my obsession. I've been watching video after video like every night, and it's just like, it's entertaining to me. It's not just that I'm trying to do research. It's like, I'm genuinely enjoying this again. I'm like getting excited about going.
Yeah.
And now my Disney purchases have gone up. Of course, I just showed you like a totally unnecessary honeypot that I got that looks like Winnie the Pooh's honeypot.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to go to Costco and get a big thing of honey and put it in.
You fucking bet.
Why? Because I needed to spend $20 somewhere.
I mean, why keep the honey in the what you bought it in?
No,
you don't have it in a fun thing.
Why?
Yeah.
It's terribly wasteful to take one container completely empty it, throw it right in the recycling.
Besides, how much do you need honey?
I don't need that much honey. I don't need that much honey. But I got it. I needed it.
I would fill it with M&Ms, but that's me. That's my life. That's my style. Well, I'm so excited for you.
Love DFB.
Do you think Henry will go on the Haunted Mansion?
Or no.
Or will be too spooky? Too spooky,
think
scary.
So.
But I thought he likes spooky, scary.
He does like it, but
you could be like, it's not scary.
But I know he's gonna get like 2 minutes into the ride and be like, I wanna get up, and like it's gonna be too much for him. I think. Okay. I think. If he's really for it when we
by
get
September,
there, I'll give him a chance.
A whole different world.
True. It's many months
away.
They grow
so fast.
It's like a different world in child development. You never know. But I don't think. I don't think he's going to want to do it. Like, he keeps saying he doesn't want to see the evil queen.
I mean, I get it. She gives you poison apples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, and then if I see her, I'm going to have to eat an apple. I'm like, you don't have to eat anything.
You've not taught your kid proper strange.
I was like, don't eat anything anyone you don't know gives you.
No, mama, I have to eat what people give me.
It's called being polite.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if I know it's poison, I must eat it. These are the rules.
We once went apple picking and this little girl asked me to pick an apple for her that was out of her reach. And I was like, you're asking a stranger to give you an apple? I was like, little girl.
Little girl.
Haven't you read Snow White? And she's like, just give me that apple, lady. I was like, okay, sorry.
Girl, you are not going to last on these streets.
Oh, man.
That's so exciting. Let me ask you, are there any snacks you're looking forward to?
Oh, definitely. I mean, so it used to be the Dole Whip was like a California Disneyland thing that you couldn't get. But the wonderful thing about Disney's money hungriness is that the second they realize that people like something, they make it available for the masses.
Yes.
Like, used to be like the Orange Bird or Figment were like things that only like the real Disney heads could find or get, and they'd have to get it off eBay. Now it's like everywhere they have that kind of merchandise. Same with the Dole Whip. And in fact, I sent you a menu for a place that opened up in Disney Springs that it's basically all Dole Whips.
Yeah.
And it's like the most disgusting menu items I've ever seen. It's like Dole Whip nachos. I'm like, this is disgusting. So anyway, you can get a Dole Whip and a Dole Whip float at Aloha Isle. Mm-hmm. In Magic Kingdom, and I'm very, very happy to check that out. Yeah. And they also have like cool, like a lot of ice cream treats I'm interested in getting. Like at Storybook Treats in Magic Kingdom, they have now they have the Seven Dwarves soft serve, and it's like a different dwarf for every day of the week, so you can only get some. Like I really want to try the Grumpy. It's like a cranberry soft serve. Oh. It sounds amazing. And then they're decorated with like a little white chocolate like ornament that has the dwarf on it and has a little belt buckle on the soft serve. It's like the cutest thing I've ever seen. They have a Snow White one that's like lemon soft serve and it has like a bow and a little bird. I'm just going to like fill up on ice cream, I think, and just get diabetes.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking so much about what you said about when you came back from Disney with Jen and you were like, I came home and threw up. Because I ate such crap that whole week. So I'm like, how do I hack this so that we can eat like a vegetable or like not be sick by the end of the trip because we're eating tater tots at every meal or something crazy.
Yeah. On top of the constant walking.
Yeah.
The dehydration. The dehydration, just the stress of it, flying.
Mm-hmm.
How do you hack it? I don't know the answer. The answer is to just not make every choice fucking stupid. But you get there and you're in the whirlwind of it.
Yeah.
And any plan you had beforehand kind of goes away after the first day. And you're like, you're just making dumbass decisions. You know,
we can't do too much. That's the mistake I know I'm going to make and I'm going to regret it. And I just... like, because I'm getting so ramped up.
How many days
are
you going for?
We're going for 5 nights, 6 days.
Okay.
So, but we have very young children.
Yeah.
You can't do a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they need to rest. They will implode. They reach an expiration point during the day.
Yeah.
Like, on a normal day.
Right.
And, like, a Disney day that's, like, has a half-life. So... you figure I'm going to have to rein myself in because we're like, we can go there and there and there. And like the kids are not going to want to do that. They're going to want to ride the carousel 10 times because they're idiots. Like, you know,
because they're not doing the research.
They're not doing the kind of work that I'm putting into it. But it's for them. Like, who is this trip for? Me, the crazy Disney head, or like the kids I want to share it with? So if I'm really doing this trip for them, I have to just be like, sure, ride the monorail again.
It's for everybody.
Because that's the part you like the most.
Yeah.
No, we can't go back to the airport. The airplane's not part of it. He's more excited, I think, for the airplane ride.
I think that's a lot of kids are like that.
Yeah.
What hotel are you staying at?
The Contemporary.
Nice.
They just refurbished. They desperately needed a refurbishment. That hotel, it's part of it. So also, this is the 50th anniversary of Disney World.
You bet.
So there's all kinds of stuff, like you all bet. Kinds of special things going on.
Yeah, the castle's like got rose gold.
Oh, yeah. Now, I have been there for the infamous 25th anniversary birthday cake
castle. I was there for that, too.
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too.
Universally reviled. I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. I absolutely adored it.
It's cooler in person. When you see a giant cake in person, it's like, wow, this is cool.
You're like, this is awesome. And it looked kind of like a bouncy house. Yeah. Like, because it was kind of balloony.
Yeah, it didn't look that much like a cake.
No, it looked like a balloon, really. But it was so cool. I loved it. And they were like, we don't want to have that happen again. I'm like, oh, why not? It looks like fun. You know, I'm not a fan of the paint job.
I like it.
I mean, it's very pretty, but and because it's like pink, blue, and purple and gold are like the colors of the anniversary. But Cinderella's castle is always sort of like bluish gray. And like we already have the pink castle in Disneyland. And I'm sort of like, this kind of looks like Sleeping Beauty's castle. Like, let it be its own thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very pretty, but I kind of hope they revert.
They might. I mean, it might be just for the 50.
Yeah.
Or at some point they'll change it again.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, the one thing that I wasn't there for this, but something like when I'm a Disney head too, something that people really hated. Do you remember when they did like the Stitch attack?
Yes, Stitch attacks the castle and it just, like spray painted.
And there's just toilet paper all over it. People did not like that one.
I thought that's fun. Who cares?
Fucking Stitch.
Yeah, but I don't get that Stitch is that big of a thing. I feel like Disney's trying to make Stitch happen. And, like, is everybody on board with Stitch? Like, I love the movie, but, like...
I think there's a certain... Maybe there's a certain age group.
Because there's, like, a Stitch takes Stitch. Over or a Stitch Crashes line of merchandise. Like, right now they're doing Stitch Crashes Peter Pan. You know,
no, that was 2021. Now they're back. They're doing Mickey again.
Oh, no. They're doing... they just released Stitch Crashes Peter Pan, like, this week.
Oh, then... I'm thinking of the...
They did other lines, though.
Oh, okay.
So it might be, yeah. But I'm sort of like, do people really want, like, a Stitch Tinkerbell? Like, I don't.
People fucking like the Stitch. I don't know. That ride's not there anymore. That used to be the Alien ride.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a ride, but it was a show.
That was a scary ride everyone to be thought it was in too Disney. Scary. Like, I've been on it, and I cried so hard.
That was Michael Eisner. He wanted it to be an alien, like, from the movie Alien.
Yeah. It looked like
awesome.
It.
And it ended up not.
You felt like moisture on you. Like, because the alien was coming around. Yeah, it drools on you. Sexy. Yeah. It was awful. It was so scary.
Jen said she found it scary when it was Stitch. She was like, it's still scary. Still very scary. Still dark, and he's running around being an alien. No one needs that.
I don't need that. Well, like that's like the it's a bug, like hard to be a bug in Animal Kingdom. It's just like the sensation of having bugs on you. It's.
I didn't do that.
It's well, don't. It's awful.
I love the Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor.
I don't think I've done that. I don't know if I
it's
did.
It's in Tomorrowland, and it's a nice little show.
Yeah.
They
we'll
get
probably
you in
do
and
that
out
now.
Quick.
We'll do
it's
that.
It's a nice sit down.
This is also, it's not going to be a ride heavy trip. Like, it can't be.
I feel like it's not ride heavy anymore. I feel like Disney has become more about other events and food and other attractions. Mm. Like, rides, it's not all rides.
It's going to, for us in particular, it's going to be, like, very character heavy if we can.
Yeah.
Show heavy.
Sure.
And, like, a couple of rides sprinkled
in. Bring your kids to Carousel of Progress. They got to know how.
I just need air conditioning for a little
media
bit. We're going, like,
evolved.
During the height of hurricane season. So we got to get our rain ponchos. We got to get our waterproof shoes.
Yeah.
We got to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a mess. It's going to be a wet mess. But we'll try to duck into some places. We'll see. We need to go to the celebration of the Festival of the Lion King. Because that's like Henry's number one. It's the Lion King.
Of course.
And we got to get some Pooh. Winnie the Pooh in there for Peter. Because he's a big Winnie the Pooh head.
Yeah.
So, you know how it goes.
That's fun.
That's it. It's Disney. I'm back to being a Disney head.
Yeah.
It's good to be back.
The ramp up to a trip is...
Oh, it's better than a trip.
Yeah.
I have my snacks all planned out.
Yeah.
We're probably going to get to like 50% of them, maybe, if we're lucky.
Yeah.
I just need a Dole Whip. I just need one of those.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Nice, refreshing Dole Whip.
Mm. What are you obsessed with?
My current obsession is a book. Boring compared to yours.
Gross. No time for reading.
It's actually a business book, which
it's double boring.
I know. You would never think that I would like a business book, but darn it, I did. It's called Built to Fail, the Inside Story of Blockbuster's Inevitable Bust.
Okay.
Written by Alan Payne. Alan Payne is a businessman, and he ran a string of Blockbuster video franchises.
Okay.
Most Blockbuster videos were corporate stores. There were some in some areas that were franchises.
Okay.
which is different. It means you run the business however you want it. Uh-huh. And you pay for the license of having
the sign, like their
right, right. Logo, but it's still and yours. And, I mean, it depends on the franchise. Like McDonald's has a big control over like what they're
franchise. Yeah, like you can't just serve whatever you want.
But Blockbuster didn't like, because he talks about how when they got rid of late fees, he didn't, and his store survived.
Wow.
His store. Basically, his whole thing is this was always a terrible business. Uh-huh. Like the first part of the book is, so when you ask somebody what happened to Blockbuster, they say Netflix.
Yeah,
he says that's not true. They were built to fail. They always sucked. They were always a bad business. They were always losing money. The very first guy who started it, all he knew how to do was grow. He didn't know how to do a business.
Okay.
So Blockbuster was constantly growing. It was constantly opening stores. It's insane, their growth. And when you're constantly taking the money and opening a new store, you're just in this whirlwind of pushing money around, mm-hmm. not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then he goes through every CEO, and then the next CEO was like, well, let's try to sell t-shirts. And he's mm-hmm. like, that doesn't fucking work. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
And he just talks about every terrible, every CEO comes in, makes terrible choices. Uh-huh. And he's like a very he's a business person, but he's like a very real guy. Uh-huh. And he's like, there's fundamentals, you're renting videos. All Blockbuster wanted to do was rent out new releases, and they didn't see any value in building a library. Mm-hmm. He's like, in my stores, I built a library and I had better numbers than them. Mm-hmm. And he talks a million times about trying to go to the CEO and be like, look at my numbers. Look how I'm doing better than you.
Yeah.
You should listen to what I'm doing. And they'd be like, fuck you. Who cares?
Yeah.
You're just a little.
We're going to have a $2 DVD bin. That'll solve things.
You're just a nobody and we're a giant corporation.
Yeah.
And just his frustration at that.
Like, I'm trying to save your life.
Right. Because he, as Blockbuster was just getting worse and worse, yeah. and failing and failing and failing and failing, his business was thriving.
Yeah.
And he even said taking away late fees was a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. It's one of the nails in the coffin, although he really makes the point that every decision was terrible.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting when you think about brands in America and corporations, because I have, you know, in my mind, a thought of Blockbuster and memories of going to Blockbuster and fond memories. And it's so weird that there was an entropy that I couldn't see. They were always failing.
Yeah.
But because they're so big and right. I don't see that side of it, I didn't know. It's the same thing with Toys R Us. I have such fond feelings about Toys R Us. And for the last 20 years, Toys R Us has been getting worse.
Yeah.
And you see these decisions and you don't realize that they're not working.
Mm.
And Blockbuster made crazy decisions and then would go back on it and then fire this guy and hire someone else. And it was just really interesting. One tidbit. A little piece of trivia that I learned that blew my mind is that Redbox, which also helped to kill Blockbuster, the Redboxes, Redbox was started by McDonald's.
Really?
Yeah. And originally Redboxes were only at McDonald's.
Wow.
And then Coinstar bought Redbox. And then Redboxes went everywhere. And he said Redboxes even had a better was better than Blockbuster.
Wow. You know, it's funny as far as late fees, the New York Public Library System just... Uh-huh. A couple months ago got rid of late fees because they said it wasn't an equitable policy for people who got books from the library and then, you know, didn't have the money to pay late fees. However, they recently, so for instance, we take out a lot of books from the library for the kids.
Uh-huh.
And a week or so before they're due back, we'll get an email saying we've extended your due date.
Oh, okay.
Since they dropped the late fees. Now all of a sudden I got an email saying you have one courtesy extension. So it's I think they went back on that also.
Yeah.
They're no one's bringing their books back. Oh, we're not going to have a library getting these back soon.
Yeah. And that's what, he talks about his whole thing is there are just common sense, rational business things that you mm-hmm. need to know. And they just did not know those things. And he's you rent movies to people. If you don't have late fees, the movies don't come back.
Yeah.
And then the next person can't rent it.
Yeah.
Very, very simple.
I still have some Blockbuster movies in this house.
Yeah. They also did that thing where, there were no late fees, but once you hit a point where it was crazy late, you bought it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right. You'd have to buy it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So then it would be like, okay, it's $30.
Like, and then it was like a crazy expensive price right. for it.
And you'd be like, well, why? It's like, well, no, you bought it. It's like, I didn't want to buy it.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you should have brought it back then.
Right, right. So it was a very interesting book. It did make me feel nostalgic for mm-hmm. video stores and mm-hmm. and even Blockbusters.
That used to be my Friday night. Like, if I wasn't at the movies, I'd be at a Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Like, you could even get movie snacks there.
Yeah.
The way you get them in a movie. So I rent video games through there. I'd often rent the same movies over and over again because I love them so much. Yeah. I have very fond memories.
And all that other shit, like T-shirts and like, those never sold. Mm. Never sold. Mm. He was like, movies, renting movies. And like popcorn and snacks. Mm-hmm. That was our business.
Yeah.
That's all you needed to do. That they could not figure out how to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an interesting, because it gives you an idea about just corporate world. Like, these people come in with great charisma and I've got big ideas. Mm-hmm. And often these big ideas don't gel with reality at all.
Mm.
Like, you know, it's a big idea to be like, we're going to start our own Netflix thing.
They did have their own Netflix thing. Yeah.
And it was horrible because it made no sense. And also it screwed over people in the store mm-hmm. because you would be taking the inventory from the store for that.
Yeah.
So you're screwing over the people in the stores. It was an interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
Built to Fail, The Inside Story of Blockbuster's Inevitable Bust.
Mm, very cool.
No, I think we did it.
We did a fully. Good to be back.
It's good to do a fully.
Good to be back in a full.
You bet. This is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. That's Janine Gagliardi. We are available anywhere podcasts are found. As a matter of fact, we're even now also available on YouTube.
Where videos are found.
Yes. But they're not really videos. They're really just videos with our podcast.
Just a still image.
Just a still image.
You just listen.
It's just the podcast in another form. We're not the only ones who do it. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know if you know this, but we have never missed a week. We have gone mm-hmm. for years now. Every Wednesday, we mm-hmm. come out. Never missed a fucking episode.
We show up. You know what? Showing up.
Fuck up.
What is it? What percentage is it of success? 90%?
Yeah.
Showing up. That's it.
That's it. We show the fuck up. Just gonna
keep showing up.
Yeah.
We're gonna keep showing up for you.
Damn right. We make the content for you. You can also follow at PCMC Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't use the Twitter ever. The Twitter is a real wasteland. We have the Twitter, and it's just another distribution stream. It just, when an episode comes out, it goes to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But thank you for being here. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for having me.
Good night and good luck. We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.